As you know, one always opens Bechvot Hachzanya, and the hosts in this case are firstly you, but also MMI as a whole. So Rabbi Manning, thank you very much for the schutz and really the honor of being able to learn Torah with you. And I just found out that I'm the last year before your Yantif vacation. So a very special opportunity to try to, I would say, almost refine our perspective before we enter Chag. And what I mean by that is before we enter every one of the Chagim, I hope and I'm sure that you did this prior to Rosh Hashanah and prior to Yom Kippur, trying to appreciate the Ofi, the nature of the holiday, so that we know to a certain degree what we're supposed to be feeling or with what type of mindset we're supposed to be entering the Chag. Now, that doesn't mean, for example, on Erev Rosh Hashanah, when we hear, it's Yom HaDin, it's Yom HaZikaron, that doesn't mean that there's only one day for judgment, or Yom HaKippurim, this is Yom Slicha V'Kapara. Yes, that doesn't mean that throughout the year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give us opportunities for tshuva, but what we find by all the Chagim is that there are certain ideas that we're supposed to be focusing on at certain times of the year. Sometimes, it's even that the world itself, or that nature, seems to express those same ideas, and therefore, this is the mindset with which we should be entering a Chag. So if I would ask you, without you even cheating and looking at the sheets for a moment, what mindset are you in as you enter Chag HaSukkot? What would you all say? Very nice. Simcha, right? This is Zman Simchatenu, right? More than any other holiday. So much so that if you look throughout Tanakh, when the Tanakh refers to HaChag, the festival, what is it always referring to? Chag HaSukkot. Right, Anna, we'll see in just a moment why there's so much simcha dafka at this time. So again, that doesn't dismiss the possibility of experiencing simcha throughout the year. So please know that you should be happy throughout the year, right? Especially b'simcha shel mitzvah, b'simcha of Talmud Torah. But apparently, there's something very, very special about this time period that we're about to welcome. But now if you look on your sheets, you'll also see, what else do we feel a little bit of on Sukkot? A little bit of judgment. And you're supposed to say, wait, I thought like we finally finished with that. Right? I thought that was Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. I thought that was the anxiety that we were so ridden with over the past few weeks. And yet we're going to see that, believe it or not, there's a little bit of judgment on Sukkot as well. And to a certain degree, this creates almost schizophrenic feelings. Right? I don't know what I'm supposed to feel at this time. So let's explore, firstly, the idea of Simcha and not to worry. Right, we're going to see that there is much more simcha. That simcha is way overwhelming, right, the aspect of din. Nonetheless, in order, just like you heard Sarah Dina say, because this is the last time prior to your meeting again on Leil Hoshana Rabbah, so to give you a certain sense of how the days are going to progress until Hoshana Rabbah and until Shemini Atzeret as well. So let's get started. Firstly, with how the Torah basically introduces this Chag of Sukkot, and we're going to see numerous ideas that can be extrapolated from the various times wherein Sukkot is mentioned in Tanakh. So we're going to begin in what's called Parshat HaMoadim, where all of the Moadim, and not just the Shalosh Regalim, are mentioned. If you remember, how does it begin? Dabrel b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lehem Moadei Hashem asher tikru otam mikra'i kodesh elehem Moadai. These are going to be specific times in the year, Hashem says. Then on one hand, you're going to call them Mikra'e Kodesh. What does that mean, Mikra Kodesh? Literally, it means a proclamation of holiness. You're going to have to do something. You, Am Yisrael, you declare them holy. And if you remember the psukim that come right afterwards, Hashem says, yes, these are the days that you're going to decide, right, when you go to the Beit HaMikdash, these are going to be the days when you bring the karbanot. These are Mikra Kodesh. These are the days that you refrain from doing any work. Basically, you decide, based on, as we already know, back to Shmo Perek Yud Bet, based on the lunar cycle, based on HaChodesh HaZalachem Rosh Chodeshim. But strangely enough, before we hear of any Mo'ed that we declare, the Torah then introduces Shabbat. It says, oh, by the way, just remember Shabbat. Right? Remember that Shabbat is another type of day. And apparently, what the Torah is trying to teach us is that to every Chag, there are two aspects. There's going to be the subjective, historical aspect, that relates B'nai Yisrael, right, to some type of event that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was overseeing. There's some type of Mikra Kodesh, again, subjective, based on the moon, that determines what we don't do on this day. But then there's also going to be, to every single holiday, some type of Shabbat aspect, a universal, objective day, wherein, just like we have by Shabbat itself, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says for the entire world, or more or less the natural notion or the natural aspect of the world, is also going to express an idea. So if one could requalify Mikra Kodesh and Shabbat, I would say Mikra Kodesh is always going to recount some type of historical aspect of the holiday, and a Shabbat is always going to mention some type of agricultural, natural aspect of the holiday. Just to get started, for example, the first one is Pesach. Can anyone tell me what is the Mikra Kodesh aspect of the holiday? This is how the Pesukim begin. I just didn't want to put in the whole Perek. So when you open up Ayikra Perek of Gimel, you hear a lunar date that's given for Sukkot. And what's mentioned? What's the historical aspect of Sukkot? Yetzia Mitzrayim. So what do you think you have to do in order to commemorate that historical aspect? We hear about the Karban Pesach. We hear about Chag HaMatzot and Maror. But then we hear Mimacharat HaShabbat, which, if you remember, is a very famous debate between the Tzdukim and the Prushim. The Tzdukim understood, Mimacharat HaShabbat. So basically, after Shabbat, which is Sunday, every Sunday after Pesach, then we're going to offer the Karban Omer. And we say, no, Shabbat here means the Shabbat aspect of the holiday. On Tetzayin Nisan, that's when we offer a natural agricultural Karban. Who remembers what Karban is that? The Karban Omer, right? That's brought right after. Or let's turn for a moment to Shavuot. Shavuot, as you know, in the Torah really doesn't have so much of a Mikra Kodesh. All that's going to be mentioned is that we bring a Karban and we don't do any Malacha. The main aspect is Sheva Shabbatot Mimot Yena. It's a Shabbaton. It's an agricultural holiday. Right? This is what brings us now to what you see with regard to the next holidays. U'Bachodesh HaShvi'i, we have a Shabbat Zichron Truah, telling us that, believe it or not, Rosh Hashanah, in addition to being a Mikra Kodesh, in addition to being a day wherein we subjectify by not performing Malacha, and where we blow a shofar, it's also a Shabbat. It's also an agricultural season. For after all, it's going to lead directly to Sukkot. This is the beginning of the harvest time. And then we get to Pasuk Chafa. Vayizamar Shama Moshe Limor. Ach! Besor lachodesh hashvi hazeh yom kippurim hu. We hear an ach, but, which already tells us that even though we're going to hear that Yom Kippur is a Mikra Kodesh, we're not allowed to perform any malacha. Inui nefesh, we have five inuyim on this day. It is also going to be called a Shabbaton, but in a different way. Can anyone tell me, what does that ach do? That ach, most of the Parshanim explains, is lashon mi'ut. It tells you this is the exception to the rule. Now, we're not going to celebrate neither the Mikra Kodesh or the Shabbat aspect in the normal way. What's the normal way of expressing a holiday, a special day? By? Very nice, right? Again, not just Isser Malacha, but also celebrating, eating. Again, that you're not going to do on Yom HaKippurim. Now we're going to continue with the very next moed that's given. Take a look at Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Vayidbar Hashem el Moshe l'emor, Dibar b'nei Yisrael l'emor, b'chamishasar yom l'chodesh hashvi'i hazeh. So we already know, check, here's a lunar date. The Mikra Kodesh aspect is going to be talked about. Chag HaSukkot Shabbat Yamim l'Hashem, v'yom HaRishon, Mikra Kodesh. We already know, what's a Mikra Kodesh? The subjective way wherein we basically relate to the day. Kom l'chad avodah lo tasu. What's another expression of Mikra Kodesh? You bring a karban. Shivat yamim takrivu ishei lahashem. V'yam hashmini Mikra Kodesh yeh lachem. V'yikraftim ishei lahashem. Atzereti kol melachat avodah lo tasu. Excellent. Right, here we find a beautiful lunar aspect of the day. Pasuk lamed zayin. Ei lemoadei Hashem. And now it seems as if the Torah is completing everything and telling us, okay, that was your calendar. Those were all the special holidays, beginning with Pesach, ending on Sukkot. These are all the Moadei Hashem that are going to be called Mikra E Kodesh, wherein Lahakriv Yishei Lahashem Olam and Chazavach Nesachim Dvar Yom B'Yomo, where you bring a karban, Milvad Sheptot Hashem O Milvad Matnotechem, other than other days that you bring a karban, either because it's Shabbos or because you want to offer your own Nidava, your own gracious offering to the Beis HaMikdash. And this seems like a really nice ending, a beautiful, what would be known as an inclusio, right? A beautiful closure pasuk to the pasuk with which this parshia began, Eila Moadei Hashem, ending with Eila Moadei Hashem. Perfect. No? No, says the Torah. Pasuk Lamed said, ach! It's almost as if the Torah says, wait, we forgot. Gana, Hashem has one more aspect to teach you right now. Ach, b'chamisha asar l'chodesh hashvi'i. So again, I hear the word ach again. What does that already tell me? The next aspect that you're about to hear about is different. Excellent. You're going to hear about another different type of holiday. But this is so strange. What's this other different holiday? B'chamishasar yom l'chodesh ha-shvi'i. It takes place on the same holiday that was just mentioned, called Sukkot, on the same date. But now what aspect is mentioned? A natural aspect, the Shabbat aspect. Take a look. B'aspechem etzvot ha'aretz tachogu erchak Hashem Shabbat yamim. When you go out to your fields and you collect the tzvua, you're going to celebrate for 7 days. And just like we found, if you remember, in the earlier Pasuk, in Pasuk Lamedalid, the first day is a Mikra Kodesh, the last day is a Mikra Kodesh, this time, B'yom HaRishon, what is it called? Shabbaton. B'yom HaShmini, Shabbaton. And what are you going to do on this day? You're not just going to bring a regular Mikra Kodesh Korban. You're going to bring a Shabbat Korban. You're going to bring a Korban from nature. You're going to bring Arba Minin that express all different types of agriculture, that express different needs, I would say, of grain. Ulakachtam lachem bayam harishon, priya tadar, kapot marim, anafi tabot, arve nachal, usmachtem lefnei Hashem Elokechem shivat yamin. And now we hear what makes this holiday so unique. All the other holidays, okay, they have some historical aspect, they have some agricultural aspect. Yom Kippur, we heard, okay, this one you celebrate differently. Even though it also has a Shabbat and a Mikra Kodesh aspect, well, you don't really celebrate it. You kind of oppress yourself on this day a little. It's a solemn day in Shabbat Shabbaton. It's a day of Inui. The Inui kind of sets it off the chart of the other Moadim. So can anyone tell me what's unique to Sukkot based on this? How is this an Ach? How is this different than everything else? This is a particular time, says the Torah, wherein you're supposed to do what? Be happy. But wait a second, aren't we supposed to be happy by all the other chagim? We're going to see, yeah. So what does that tell you about this simcha? This is a super duper simcha, we're going to call it. This is a very different type of simcha that, notice, appears particularly within the agricultural manifestation. V'chagotem oto chag la'ashem shevat yamim. V'shana chukat olam gzortachem v'yom ha'shvi tachogoto. V'sukot tishvu shevat yamim. And now we hear, wait, why do we sit in Sukkot? Because that's the agricultural time of the year that people are sitting in huts, because they're out and they're collecting their harvest. So they set up little shomerot, little Sukkot, little huts in their field. Kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael yishvu b'Sukkot. But now the Torah does something absolutely beautifully. It combines the historical aspect together with the agricultural aspects, and therefore Sukkot, Lebriyot Sukkot, more than any other holiday, is a 50% holiday. What do I mean by that? It really is the perfect mixture between a Mikra Kodesh and a Shabbat, between an agricultural day and a historical day. What are we supposed to commemorate historically at this time? Pasuk Mem Gimel, L'man Yidu Dorotechem Ki B'Sukkot Hoshavti Bnei Yisrael V'Hotzi Otam Eretz Mitzrayim Ani Hashem Elokechem. And now we're ready to close it all up by Yedaber Moshe Et Moadei Hashem El Bnei Yisrael. So here, notice that already within the parsha of the Moadim, we recognize that Sukkot is unique in two ways. Firstly, it seems to be the perfect balance, so much so that there are two tichot dibur. There are two introductions of the commandment. Here is the Mikra Kodesh, here is the Shabbat, and by the end, they're all combined. The Sukkot are there, both to commemorate the agricultural harvest and simultaneously to remind you historically that the Sparach sheltered us in huts when we left Mitzrayim. At the same time, we already know that this is a special chag because of the magic word of Ach. Something's different. And already, just by being sensitive to the different words in Tanakh, I see the only word here that appears differently than all the other Moadim is Simcha. Just like the only word that appeared by Yom Kippur that doesn't appear anywhere else is Inui. So this already tells us something. What we're going to do now is take a look and see that in Sefer Bamidbar, the Torah, when introducing all of the Karbanot of the Mikra Kodesh, all the Karbanot that are offered on the particular days, take a look at Pasuk Lametet, Ele tasu la'ashem b'moadichem, levad minidrichem v'nitzvotichem. The Torah introduces it by saying, this is what you offer on all the Moadim. And, interestingly, in Sefer Devarim, what else do we hear? There we hear only about the Shalosh Regalim. And how is Sukkot introduced in Sefer Devarim? Perek Tetzayim Pasuk Yigimol Chag HaSukkot HaSalach Shabbat Yamim, Basbacha, Migarincha, Umiyekvecha. What we already know. What is special or unique to the Shalosh Regalim? They are all agricultural times of the year. And particularly, what is the agricultural motif of Sukkot? It's harvest time, both from our fields and from our yekev, again from our vineyards, and from the goren, the threshing floors. And what are you supposed to do on Sukkot? It's not enough that in Vayikra you heard that it's a day of simcha. Take a look at Pasuk Yudalid. V'samachta b'chagecha. Atav ben chavitzacha, atav ben mitzcha, v'alibi, v'agev, 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 תחום לה שם הלקחה במקום אשר יבחר השם, כי יברך לה שם הלקחה בכל צפותך, בכל מה זה ידך, והיית אך שמח. The song just condenses it, right? ושמחת בחגך, והיית אך שמח, and leaves out all the words in between. But basically, we hear of a double mentioning, simcha, simcha, simcha. This is super duper simcha time, because this is when you're collecting all your harvest. And therefore, what we see is that what is so unique to Chag HaSukkot is definitely the Simcha, wherein if we combine the mentioning in Vayikra together with Devarim, how many times then is Simcha mentioned by Sukkot? 3. Anyone know what the runner-up is? Shavuot. How many times is Simcha mentioned by Shavuot? 1. How many times is it mentioned by Pesach? None. So take a look at what the Yerayim says. The Yerayim, Hana, Rav Elazar Mimetz, he comes and he says, it says, Samach Levi Ger Yatom Ba'almana, V'samachta V'chagecha V'chulei V'chulei. And he learns, based on also the Gemara, Simcha B'chag HaMatzot V'Rosh Hashanah Loktiv. Uh-oh, we have Simcha by Sukkot, we have Simcha by Shavuos, but we don't have any Simcha by Pesach. Come to think of it, it also doesn't mention Simcha then by which other holidays? By Rosh Hashanah, and even by... He just mentions Rosh Hashanah, but also not by Yom HaKippurim, right? Meaning that more or less covers them all. So how do we know that we're supposed to have Simcha on all the other Chagim? Ah, minalan mihekesh to Rabbeinu Yonah. Hazav, Rabbeinu Yonah makes a hekesh by learning from the Psukim in Bamidbar, Eile tasu laHashem b'moadechem, because all the Moadim in plural form are put together in Bamidbar. So what do we know? Hukshu kol ha-moadot zelazet. That all the Moadim share similar aspects one to the other. So if there's Simcha by Sukkot, what do you know? There must be Simcha by all the other ones as well. What does that tell us, by the way? Why is there Simcha then by all the Chagim? Because there's Simcha by Sukkot. It's almost as if the Simcha by Sukkot supposed to last the whole year round, right? The Simcha by Sukkot is the basis. To a certain degree, it's the prototype of Simcha. And Chazal learned from the Simcha of Sukkot that there must be Simcha by the other Moadim. By the way, is there Simcha by Rosh Hashanah? So now, Gana, based on this Hekesh, yeah, weren't you a little happy on Rosh Hashanah? Why is Rosh Hashanah also a happy day? I know it's a Yom Iyun for Sukkot, but Gana, we were supposed to be happy on Rosh Hashanah. Why? What's the Simcha that you feel on Rosh Hashanah? Nehemiah says, how are you supposed to celebrate Rosh Hashanah? Go, echlu mamtakim, v'shtu, echlu mamtakim, v'shtu mamtakim, v'shachru. Go, get drunk, v'shachru manot le'in achon lo. And send mishloch manot one to the other. It's supposed to be a day that brings all of Am Yisrael together. It does have a Yom Tov aspect. It is a Mikra Kodesh. It's true that it's somewhat tempered by the din that we feel. But we're supposed to be happy on Rosh Hashanah. How about Yom Kippur? Were you happy yesterday? Definitely when you sing Myra Kohen. No? Yes, that for sure. And yes, Chazal say, Ein yamim tovim b'Yisrael, ela kituba avu kiyom ha-kippurim. And why Yom HaKippurim? Tuvav is a little bit more complicated, Chazal say. But Yom Kippur, of course, it's a day of Simcha. Because it beis slicha u'machila. Because it's a day of forgiveness for Am Yisrael. So I hope we were also happy yesterday. But now we see, wait a second, where do we learn that Simcha from? We actually learn it from Chag HaSukkot. And the Rambam is going to qualify for us very, very carefully on the top of page 2. In Hilchot Shofar V'Sukkah V'Lulav, what does he say? Af al pi shekol ha-moadot mitzvah l'smach ben. So based on the Hekesh of Rabbeinu Yonah, of all the Moadim, wherein Rav Elazar Mimetz basically proved there's Simcha by Rosh Hashanah and Pesach as well. And he says, even though every Chag has Simcha, B'Chag HaSukkot Haitasham B'Mikdash, particularly in the Beis HaMikdash, and he knows this from the words, Usmachtem Lifnei Hashem, particularly where the concentration of the Shechina is greatest, that's where there's Simcha. Now you have to remember, the Rambam is extremely classified, is extremely organized, classifies everything very carefully. And what does he say exists by Sukkot? He doesn't just say Simcha. What does he call this? Simcha Yetera. This is an extra category of simcha, extra simcha that existed dafka on Sukkot. Shene'emar, usmachtam lifnei Hashem Elokecham shevat yamim. The Ketzer HaYosim, and now he wants to describe to you some of the expressions of Simcha and Sukkos. Erev Yom Tov HaRishon HaYu, Metakin B'Mikdash Makom L'Nashim Milamala. You know this? This is where we get the term Ezra's Nashim Fran in the Beit HaMikdash. Because the women would come as well, and it would turn into a big social scene. So eventually, towards the end of Tzkufa Bayicheni, they made a whole balcony for women on the top, and the men on the bottom, Kedei Shelo Yitarvu Eilo Melu, because so many people are here. For what? Umatchilin L'Smach Mimotzei Yom Tov HaRishon, V'chein B'chol Yom V'yom Mimei Cholo Shomoek, Matchilin Me'achar She'afribu Tamit Shol Bein Arbayim, L'Smach Shar HaYom Em Kol HaLayla. There were never days like this throughout the year. Days wherein, from the break of dawn, right after the sacrifice of the Karban Tamid, all through the wee hours of the morning, and in Masechet Sukkah we hear that people literally did not sleep during this time. And then the Gemara says, really? They didn't sleep for 7 days? That's impossible. Okay, fine, they slept. But they slept in ways that you generally don't sleep, meaning people would sleep standing up, right? Which tells us that people weren't really sleeping. There were 7 days ongoing of celebrations, what do we call the Simcha activity during Chol HaMoed? The Simcha Beit HaShoeva, when they would bring the water in the morning, and they would celebrate throughout the evening. He says, never, never throughout the year did you experience such simcha like what you saw in the Beis HaMikdash during that time. So much so that what do we nickname? And when we talk about Chag HaSukkot, we call it in our tefillah, Chag HaSukkot, Zman Simchatenu. This is the paradigm. This is the epitome of what simcha is. Go to the Beis HaMikdash, Sukkot's time, and then you'll know what a joyful time it really is. What I'd like to continue to pursue with you is to show you how this is reflected then in various halachot that are unique to Sukkot. Just to, to a certain degree, convince you that we really should be not just happy, but super duper happy, Simcha Yetera, that exists by Sukkot, and then we're going to explore together why. So whenever, and this is a great skill to have, whenever you want to test the level of happiness that a day has, anyone know what is the barometer? Right, what is going to be almost the litmus test for whether or not a day truly is a day of simcha? So you can cheat. Anna, the litmus test is hallel. Whether or not you say hallel. Hallel has to be an expression of simcha. Right, not just thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but thanking Hashem, because I truly feel at this moment only joy and happiness towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, anyone remember, technically then, should we really say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah? So the Gemara in Erchin is going to tell us we really, really should. But we're not so happy. Why? What kind of takes away a little bit from the happiness on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? The din, that's right. So we don't say Hallel. And whenever you really want to see whether a day is happy, just look for whether or not you say Hallel. Take a look at Masechet Erchin, where we see this. Amar Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadak, 18 yamim shayachet gomer behen et Hallel. There are 18 days where we say, as we know, Gena Eya Hallel Shalem. What are these days? Shmona Yemei Hachag. We don't even begin with the first calendarical reference, right? The Rambam, based on the Gemara also, will always go in order of the calendar. What should have been mentioned first? In the calendar, what's the Rishon L'Chodshei Hashana? Pesach, right? We should have started with Nisan. But no, rather he's going to say, what is the prototype for Hallel days? Shmonat Yemei Hachag, the 8 days of Sukkot, and then Shmonat Yemei Chanukah. And there are numerous parallels between them. That just has to be another Chanukah Shir in Meretz Hashem. So that's for Chanukah. V'yom Tov HaRishon Shal Pesach. Oh, okay. And then at the first day of Pesach, V'yom Tov HaRishon Shal Atzeret. Again, I'm referring to Shavuos uvegolas or Mechada, but because in Golas, as you know, we all have to add the other day. So that's the Sheyamim Tovim, v'chulei, v'chulei. That's how we get to it. But specifically, again, Sukkot more than any other day. Take a look at the next paragraph. Mishum to Rabbi Abahu, who says that really we should have Hallel then on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur also, but why don't we? Efshar melech Yoshev al kisei hadin v'sifri chayim v'sifri meitem tuchen lefanav. Yisrael omrim shira lefanai. How could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to determine whether or not we die or live and we can stay shira on this day? So no. Who remembers, by the way, why don't we complete Hallel on the Gemara continues with the next days, with the second set of days on Pesach. Why don't we have Hallel for 7 days of Pesach like we have for 8 days of Sukkot?
Isn't he the midterm?
Very nice. Uben foloi v'cha al tismach. Right, so there's something that diminishes. What is it diminishing, really? It's not diminishing our praise of Hashem. It diminishes our sense of simcha. So when we have full simcha, we can say a full hallel. Otherwise, it's going to be somewhat diminished. Take a look now, also in the Rambam, in Hilchot Megillah v'Chanukah. What does he say by Chanukah? V'lo halal shel Chanukah b'levad hu midivrei sofrim. He says, obviously, halal on Chanukah is we'll call it a strong drabanan. Ella kriyat halal le'olam midivrei sofrim b'chol hayamim shegomrim b'hen et halal. And then he reviews what we just learned. Right, based on Masechet Erchin, all the 18 days where you say the full halal, shmona timei hachad v'chulei. Notice what he says in the third line. Aval Rosh Hashanah v'yom ha-kippurim ein ba'en halal, l'fi shehen yamei tshuva v'yira v'fachad, v'lo yamei simcha yateira. What does he want to say? Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, do you do have an element of simcha? Yes. What's the problem? No, you don't have simcha yateira. He's already used that term. What are the simcha yateira days then? They're Sukkot. Right? That's what we learn by Sukkot. The only reason you may have some Simcha and Pesach is because it's learned from Sukkot. The only reason there's Simcha and Chanukah is because it's learned from Sukkot. Right? It all starts with Sukkot. Let's continue on. We'll see in the Gemara Masechet Pesachim. Really? And when, notice also when particularly will we say Hallel, according to the Gemara? I'm Rav Yosef, Omer, Elazar B'ni, Omer, Moshe B'Yisrael, Amarui B'Shah, Shalum in Hayam. Am Yisrael said this after Kriyas Yamsuf, and David said this. Again, Efshar Yisrael shachatu pischehem v'natzlu lulavehen v'lo amru shira. How could it be that Am Yisrael would not say Hallel when they're in the middle of Karban Pesach, again, when they're recounting all the amazing miracles that were performed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But notice what's mentioned together with this. When would be the time that we take, that we say Hallel? So I understand. During the time of slaughtering of the Pesach, that makes sense, that that's a perfect time to say Hallel. Because what am I remembering when I shecht my Pesach? I'm remembering all the nisim that Hashem did at the time of Yetziyah Mitzrayim. So now the Gemara goes on to say, how could it be that I would also pick up my lulav and not say Hallel? So you tell me, what type of simcha am I feeling when I pick up my lulav? Am I remembering, I don't know, the sukkahs? The Sukkot that Hashem made for Am Yisrael when he took us out of Mitzrayim? Apparently, there's something in the Arba Minim that also generates Simcha. And the truth is that we saw this in Vayikra Chav Gimel. We saw this in Parshat Moadim. So we're going to continue now and see what the Ramban says. Aval hitzorarnu. Al ha'alel mepnei she'ein lanu meforash b'halel shelachita tapesach v'chilato b'halel shenetzilat lulav de'oraita. And Rishon and Pesach and Atzeret and on Shavuot. B'chol elu, in lanu rayashi yu midivrehem. He says it seems that it should be d'oraita and not necessarily midrabanan. He says, but he says halal b'achila psachim. I'm skipping now to the end. V'netzilat lulav yiyem min haTorah. He says you can debate all the other ones. Maybe again halal on Shavuot should be midrabanan, but the halal of eating from the Pesach, right? And that's why also we actually say Hallel, not just on the first day of Pesach, but when else do we say Hallel? On the night of Pesach. Unetzilat lulav, he says, come on. That is so clearly min haTorah. You tell me, what do you think is his source? He says, Kamosha nereme pishtei shmua delu. She is karno, he says, because it's so pashut. Pashut from where? Where is it so simple from? Just open up your Tanakh, and what are you going to see in Vayikra and Devarim, in particular? Visamachta b'chagecha v'hayita ach sameach. If Hallel is the expression of Simcha, then it's so obvious, he says, that of course, when are you going to say Hallel? On Sukkot, that's midoraita. That is the primary expression of the Simcha. So of course you're going to say Hallel then. So much so that now what we're going to explore is, really, what is the connection of Hallel with, do you remember we saw it doesn't say, say Hallel on Sukkot, it says say Hallel when you do what? When you're no-till, you're lulav. Excellent. When you take the Arba Minim. So that's what we're going to look at right now. And we're going to see how Arba Minim, then in particular, how these are an expression of Simcha. So on one hand, I want to say, again, it's Mefurash in the Pasuk. What did it say? Lekachem lechem bayim harishon. Priya tazar. Kapot marim. Anachi tzavot barvei nachal. Usmachtem lefnei Hashem elokecha. That it said, particularly, the Arba Minim are going to be your means of expressing Simcha. But let's see this halachically. Again, the Rambam, but this time in Sefer HaMitzvot, says, what is the mitzvah of taking the lulav? He shetzivanu lito lulav, but that's not enough. V'lismach bo lefnei Hashem shevat yamim. The mitzvah of netzilat lulav, can anyone re-qualify according to the Rambam? How are you yotzei netzilat lulav? Picking up the lulav in what state? Simcha. So if you're in a bad mood, according to the Rambam, can you necessarily fulfill the mitzvah of Arba Minim? No, you have to be besimcha. But we're going to see that generally what happens as soon as you pick up the arba minin, generally, what should that, I would say, elicit?
Happiness.
Happiness. Excellent. Shivat yamna v'hu amru yitbarako lakachtam l'chaim b'yam ha'rishon v'chulei v'chulei usmachtem l'fnei Hashem. Next, the Gemara and Psachim. Another interesting halacha. The Gemara debates when you actually say the bracha and what bracha you say. For example, it says when you bind, when you prepare your arba minim together, you should say bracha shechianu. But when you actually pick it up, what bracha do you say? Al metzilat lulav. Excellent. So the Gemara says, why? Metzavei ha'osa lulav la'atzma mevarach shechianu v'kiman v'yanu lazman hazeh. Nitalo, you actually picked it up. Why do you say a different bracha when you pick it up? Because when do you fulfill the mitzvah? You fulfill the mitzvah when you pick it up. There's something in picking up the arba minim that actually counts as the time, as we'll see, for saying hello. Another expression of this in the Mishnah and Sukkah. Mishnah says, lulav hagazol v'hayavesh. I'm sure you learned this. A stolen or a dried out lulav, can you use that for the mitzvah of arba minim? No. Why? So the Mishnah continues, it also has to be at least three tzvachim. Do you ever see the Teimani lulav in Esrog? Right? Huge, huge etrogim. You're going to see like these, you know, nice little Teimanim walking on Sukkot in Shari Chesed. It's really beautiful to see. And they're these huge, it looks like they're carrying bowling balls, mamash. Huge etrogim and tiny lulavim. Aren't you excited, like, just to see this? In any case, so they're the small lulavim to show that it can be even just three tzvachim. Where do we get this measurement of three tzvachim, says the Mishnah? It has to be enough kidzei lina'aneyabo. It's not enough to pick up the arba minim. What do you have to do with the arba minim?
Shake them.
Right? So you need some palm branch there to be able to shake. The Gemara says, again, notice this, firstly, that we learn that a lulav yavesh is pasul. And we're going to see this from the last source, the Yerushalmi on the bottom. Why? Lo hametim yahaluluka. Because something that's dead cannot praise Hashem. In other words, what is the expression of our halel? The actual lulav. And therefore, the lulav can't be dry, it can't be dead. Because the dead can't praise. Already telling us what we've already seen in the Rambam, that the mitzvah halel is expressed on Sukkot, specifically through the arba minim. That's how we express our simcha. But let's continue. The Gemara also tells us another halacha that we're very familiar with, and that is that one oi says, a bracha over lasiyatan, before you fulfill the mitzvah. So, again, I'm just looking around, how many Sfaradi girls are there here? Nice. So, as you know, not only are you exempt from the mitzvah of arba minim, because it's a mitzvah that takes us from Brahma, but you actually don't say a bracha, so, and you don't have to know this part, but we're going to look at Baalei HaTosfot, who say that no, that Ashkenazi woman, even if we're technically putter, right, because it's a mitzvah that says Shazman Grama, Minhag Yisrael, that women do fulfill the mitzvah of arba minim, and we should say a bracha, right? So now the question is, when is the best time to say the bracha? Right? It should be over lasiyatan. So what are my choices when I take the arba minim? Maybe I should say the bracha before I actually take it, right? Before I pick it up. Take a look at what Tosfot says. He says, "Mitam ze tzarich levarech alulav kodem sheyiklenu. Di lachar shenetalo midad bay nafit bay." As soon as I pick it up, apparently I was yotzei the mitzvah, and therefore I should say, "Asher kishan mitzvah mitzvahno al netzilat ulav," right before I pick it up. I'm going to make a very long Tosfot, very short for you. Is that okay? But really, you should review the Tosfot inside. And he says, wait a second. Inami. I just bolded for you the important parts here. Inami mishum dolo gamra mitzvato adachar ninua. But the truth is that when are you yotzei the mitzvah? Not when you pick it up. What do you have to do with it? Says you have to shake it. And that's the real mitzvah. And therefore, what can you do? You can pick it up and then... then say the bracha, and then shake it. Who remembers, by the way, what do we do to be yotzei like everyone here? We pick up the lulav the right way, without saying a bracha, and we pick up the esrog upside down. So we picked it up, but is it kosher yet?
No.
No. Right? And now we're going to say, Hashem, 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 on the tzilat lulav. Now what do you do? Now, what? You flip it, and what do you do right away? Shake it. Then you were yotzei the mitzvah. So the shaking has a lot to do with it. Sarach lamar al karchacha hoil va mitzvah lo nigmar adayin legamrei debi'ini nua mevarech. And therefore, picking it up doesn't fulfill the mitzvah. It's the shaking that does the mitzvah. So as long as you say the bracha before you shake it, you're fine. Telling us there's something about the shaking. So we're going to get back to the shaking in just a moment. But you tell me, what is it about the shaking? Why is it that we don't fulfill the mitzvah of arba minim by taking it? It says ulakachtem. No, it doesn't just say ulakachtem. What did the pasuk say? Ulakachtem lachem. Ve'yomer shomrei et hadak arba nachal u... What do we learn from this? It's not enough to take it. What do you have to do with it? Show that you're happy. How do you show that you're happy?
By shaking it.
Why? What is the shaking doing? Very nice. You like Zumba also?
I love Zumba.
Amazing, right? Do you see this? Meaning it's the dance that expresses our happiness. Imagine this, right? You're shaking the lulav. What are you supposed to feel as you shake it?
Happy.
Yeah, that's exactly it. This is your mini dance in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the reason why that's the time to express halal. Let's see this also in the Gemara. When are you supposed to shake it then? So you tell me, when should you shake it? When should you express the simcha? So we already said during halal, because that is the time of the greatest simcha. So do you mind if I ask how many of you, right, are going to get your own arba minim so that you can actually do this during halal? Right, we're so used to borrowing our fathers, right? But then where do you generally say the bracha? Say it after davening and the sukkah, right? A nice thing, don't get me wrong, that's very, very nice. But lachatchila, when should you take the arba minim? During?
Halal.
And what do you do with it during halal? Instead of shaking it, we'll now say you dance with it, basically. But when do you dafka shake it? Do you remember which parts of halal? I guess the parts wherein I'm the happiest, wherein I am most praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When would that be? The Gemara says, Hechan hayu menanin, it's actually a Mishnah, b'hodu l'Hashem. When I say, Hodu l'Hashem ki tov ki le'olam chasdo, do you remember this? Hodu l'Hashem ki tov ki le'olam chasdo. But I just said that incorrectly. Why? Because what am I really supposed to do? Hodu l'Hashem. Everyone enjoying the dance? So I said the bracha before halal even, right? So that I'm all ready and set.
So you're holding the lulav as you're saying halal.
Correct. Isn't that nice? Meaning that's the ideal performance of the mitzvah. So basically, I'm not just saying halal. What am I doing? I am dancing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I am expressing my simcha before Hashem. So I say it in hodu at the beginning, but remember there's a hodu at the end as well that I say two times. But now, I already want you to put this idea in the back of your mind. The Mishnah says, when is the other time during halal that you shake it? During which words? When you say, Hana Hashem Hoshiana. Is that a feeling of simcha? Hashem, please save us! That's not so happy. That is more, I'm a little scared. Right? So we see there is a little bit of an aspect of din, but we're going to get to that because now we're going to turn the page. Hana, we're going to see other expressions of this as well. Rashi says, just like you're not allowed to have, remember we saw the Yerushalmi, a lulav yavesh, because lohamitim ya'aluluya, he says the other reason is, because Hashem said, zekeli va'anvehu, and the Gemara Masechet Shabbos, Safkuf Lamigimel says, zekeli va'anvehu, teaches us that you have to be naveh, you have to make sure that all the mitzvot are nice. We call this hidur mitzvah, right? So he says, the lulav has to look nice, dechtiv va'anvehu. And why? Because otherwise I'm not really going to be so happy. The Gemara indeed explains, Amar Avalaz Amar Bari Oshaya, Eino Chaya Valdavar Shikaro Midivri Torah, Perish Midivri Sofrim, V'yesh Bo Losif, V'mosif Goreya, V'en Lanu Tfilin, Aliba Drab Yehuda. He says, well, when it comes to Lulav, right, Lulav, he says, Gena Ein Sarech Agid, Gena that Im Hosif Goreya B'lulav, you're not allowed to add things to the Lulav. And the Rambam Paskins, what does this mean? Kama no tell me when Lulav Echad. You're not allowed to add and say, oh, if I'm so happy, so let me take a couple of lulavim. No, one lulav, one esrog, two, let's see if you remember this, two. Here he says, shnei badei arava u'shlosha badei hadas, two aravos, three hadasim. V'amratza lo sif ba'hadas kadei shuti agudah gdola, motzif, v'noin mitzvahu, aval shar haminim ein mosifim ha'minyanam, v'ein gorim ma'en, v'im hosif ogara pasal. Says, no, this is the way to do it. You take the basic. You take one lulav. And this is what we use to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the question is why? Why is it that dafka through the arba minim we express our simcha? It's true. that I'm sure many of you enjoy sitting on Sukkot, right? In Sukkot, on Sukkot. Remember us, by the way, what did we always learn from the time that we were in elementary school? Why are we sitting in Sukkot now? In Sukkot now, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim in Nisan. Did we learn the famous Torah? That's right, because the Torah who lived in Spain said because the weather in Nisan is nice, and in Tishrei it's really cold. So Hashem wants to see our Mesirut Nefesh, and that's why we sit in the Sukkot now. But in Meretz Hashem, this year you're going to be sitting in the Sukkot in Eretz Yisrael, where we're meant to be sitting in Sukkot. And are you going to feel that it's cold? Well, it gets a little chilly at night, but during the day, really beautiful. It's so beautiful. And you're saying, this is Mesirut Nefesh, right? What is the real reason why now? So we already saw, because this is harvesting season. This is when we would sit in Sukkot. But the real simcha isn't necessarily sitting in the sukkah. The real simcha we saw in the pasuk is what? It's the arba minim. And therefore, it's the arba minim that express our simcha. Why? Why is there so much simcha dafka on Sukkot? So this is what I call the fun part of this year. Trying to understand the halachot that we've already explored, trying to see what they're really expressions of. So the various Rishonim give different explanations that I want you to think of throughout the entire Sukkot. The Rambam in Mor Nebuchim says as follows. He says, what's so special about this time period? Sukkot asher hachoneh b'hasason v'hasimcha hu shevat yamim. He says, people even nickname Sukkah the time of sason and simcha for 7 days. He says, why do we even have 7 days? K'day sheyit parseim ha'inyan. A very interesting idea that he says also by Pesach. And we need 7 days. What does yit parseim ha'inyan mean? To make it famous. Okay, to publicize it. What does that mean? To publicize it. So, Elishabah, what does it really mean? Yud Parsim? Very nice. To make it something that everyone notices. Because if I do it for 1 day, do people really give notice to it? No. 2 days? 3 days? Now I'm starting to get into it. Right? It takes 7 days, like a week, to establish a routine. He says you have to make it a routine of sason and simcha. He says, now I'm going to explain the explanation of the Torah. Why are we so happy, says the Torah? Ba'aspacha et ma'asecha min hasadeh. Because what are we doing? We're harvesting everything. On Pesach, we may have harvested the barley. And on Shavuot, we harvested the wheat. But what do we get to harvest now? Everything. So I'm looking around and I'm thinking, right, you're thinking, wow, it's a Shemitah year, right? So maybe it's even more difficult. But I have to tell you, this is not just exciting because it's a Shemitah year, but when you live in Eretz Yisrael and you have the schutz of planting in Eretz Yisrael, I have to tell you my dream. I remember, and as a seminary girl, this was really my dream. And Baruch Hashem, Hashem then provided us the schutz to fulfill it. My dream was to have Sheva Minim in my backyard. And lo and behold, I have Sheva Minim in my backyard. I'm smiling because Chita and Seora came there by default. That really wasn't part of the plan, but somehow we have wheat growing in our backyard as well. That was really a fashla, but it worked out nicely. So we have Chita, Seora, Geffen, Te'ina, we have Rimonim in our backyard. And it's so nice because I can really relate to this because I look in my backyard every day and what do I see? Ah, this is harvesting season. The fruits are ready, right? The Te'inim have already been taken off the tree and I'm even more excited during the Shemitah year because get to declare everything Hefgar. I can go into my next door neighbor's yard and take the plums off of her tree, which look very good every year, right? Because now everything is Hefgar. But back to this for a moment. When you live in Eretz Yisrael and you appreciate this is harvest season, this is when you bring everything into your home. Ritzoni lamar eitz hamnucha v'hapnai min ha'asakim ha'echrechiyim. And I don't have to plant. I get a couple of weeks off, says the Rambam. That's why you're so happy, because this is real vacation. What do I mean by that? You know, if you have winter break in the middle of, right, this year you don't really have winter break, but do you remember winter break from high school? How long was it? Like a week? Right? And you were happy that week? Right? Because what do you feel after that week? You know, or even during that week, what do you know? You're going straight back into school. So really, when are you happy? Only when summer vacation comes, because then you're really off. But you're not even really happy, because what do you know after every summer vacation? You have to go back to school, right? So when were you really happy? when you finally graduated. That's right. So the Rambam says, this is Sukkos. We're really happy because we're really off. There's nothing to do, right? There's nothing to plant, right? This is harvesting season. You get to take the week off. He says that's why Aristotle talks about this also, that everyone, universally, Muhammad is also taking a week off. And Christopher Rambelbach is also taking a week off, because this is the time that everyone collected their tzvuot and peirot, ki'ilu hayu karbanot mepnei harivacha. And in all the religions we find that everyone brought sacrifices to their gods to basically say, wow, God, thank you. What a relief. He says this is a time of relief. Okay, one explanation for our simcha. Let's take a look, and we're going to see the Rashbam. I have to be honest, I'm a little biased. I like the Rashbam, and the best. Not bad, you know, it depends on my mood. Today I'm in a Rashbam mood. Let's take a look at what the Rashbam says. The Rashbam says, what is the reason why we even sit in Sukkot, and why we're so happy? Leman yedu dorotechem, ki b'sukkot oshavti et b'nei Yisrael, v'zeh tamo shel davar. Chag HaSukkot ta'aseh lecha ba'uspecha migarncha u'miyikvecha ba'uspecha tzvuat ha'aretz. He says Sukkos is linked to the harvesting of our agriculture. And that's when batechem le'im kol tuv dagan tirosh v'yitzar. And that's when we can bring everything from the fields into our home. And that's when we're reminded, oh, we have a home, and we have fields, and we have threshing floors. Once upon a time, we didn't have any of this. When didn't we have this? When didn't we have a land? When didn't we have homes? In the Midbar. And Leman Tiskaruki B'Sukkoto Shafti Epnei Yisrael B'Midbar B'Im Shana B'lo Yishuv V'lo Nachala. When we didn't have a place. Mitoch Kach Tznu Hoda'a L'mi Shanatam Lachem Nachala U'Vatechem Layim Kol Tuv. According to the Rashbam, why are we so happy now? Because when we move into our Sukkot, what do we realize? Oh my gosh. Right, this is the life that Am Yisrael had all the time. Right, they didn't have built-in plumbing. They didn't have, right, their air conditioning, or they didn't have a home. They were wandering in the desert. The Al Tamru B'Vavchem, and it reminds us, oh my, we're so vulnerable. Why is the only reason we have a land? Why do we have homes? HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided this for us. Lest you think Kochi Votz and Yadi Asad Yatachayel Hazeh. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu established Sukkot specifically at the time that we would feel most confident. Levilti rom levavam al batehem leim koltu pen yomru yadino asu lanu etachayom hazeh. So we're particularly happy because it's a happiness of hakarat hatov. It's a happiness of appreciation, of gratitude for Hashem, for everything that we have in our lives, particularly Eretz Yisrael. It reminds us of the value, it reminds us of how Hashem brought us into Eretz Yisrael. Right? That's comments? No? Okay, Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch says, why are we so happy? Take a look. Hashem Rishu Lefi, Sheyimei HaChakim, Yimei Simcha Gazola Gu Yisrael, Ki, Hu Eit Asifat HaTvot Upeirot HaYilam Babayit, Ve'az Yismuchu B'nei Adam Simcha Rabah, Mepnei Kei Nekra Chak HaAsif. This is because it's the end of the harvest season. V'tziba Ha'el La'amo La'asot Lefanav Chag Boto Ha'ir L'Zechutam Liyot Ikar HaSimcha L'Shmo. And Hashem says, look, you're naturally going to be happy anyway, because it's harvesting season. So you know what I'd like you to do when you're happy? Take your happiness and channel it to me. Take your happiness and be happy also with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Take your happiness and use it to glorify Hashem. So now the question is, okay, how do we do this? So the Gemara says, back to the Mishnah, but it's in the Gemara and Sukkah. The Mishnah says, once upon a time, we would always take the Arba Minim, the first day of Sukkot. Apparently, as an expression of, as I said, the agricultural species in front of Hashem. But Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai established that we would all take the Arba Minim, 7 days of Sukkot, like was done in the Mikdash. In other words, if the Arba Minim we already discussed are the means through which we express our happiness, then we see, how do we express it? Ideally where? In the Beis HaMikdash. Then in the Beis HaMikdash, you would take the Arba Minim all 7 days. Everywhere else, you get like a little taste of that happiness. You take it one day. But the Beis HaMikdash, it has to be Lifnei Hashem. And this is exactly what we see, again, in the Psukim as well. Usmachtem Lifnei Hashem. We now turn to the top of page 5, and we're going to see another reason for the Simcha. Until now, we've been talking about the agricultural season. And what makes Sukkot so nice is that it's the end of the agricultural season that started on Pesach and now officially is over. But what's also interesting about Sukkot is that it doesn't just finish off the agricultural season of the Shalosh Regalim. It also is the conclusion of the Yemei Hadin of Tishrei, right? The holidays of Tishrei. And therefore, to a certain degree, it's a double simcha. What do I mean by this? Take a look at Vayikra Rabba. Chagiga v'simcha. Im simcha, lama chagiga. Im chagiga, lama simcha. Why are we really so happy, in short? So, one explanation that's given here. And Amar Avi Avin, Mashal l'shnayim shenachnesu eitzel hadayan. Like two people who go in to be judged by the judge. V'lit amin yidan, mahu notzeach. And we don't know, right? This is before closed caption cameras and courthouses, right? We don't know who the victor is. So how are we going to figure out who the victor is? Ela ma dinasav ba'in biyadan anan yedain dahadei mitzchuyei. You walk out and you wait to see who's holding the prize, who's holding the trophy in his hand. Whoever's holding the trophy, what do you know? He's the victor. He won. Kach Yisrael v'umo ta'olam va'in u'mekatrahim l'pnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Rosh Hashanah. So too, we, together with all the nations of the world, were judged by HaKadosh Baruch Hu hayom harat olam on Rosh Hashanah. V'lit ami yedayin ma natzach. And we don't know. Did we come out okay? Ela v'mashi Yisrael yotzim l'pnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But how do we come and appear in front of Hashem? With lulavim and etrogehen biyadan. What are we holding in our hands? Trophies. Ani yodin di Yisrael inun nitzchayim. That's how we know that we are the victors, that we came out okay. Lefichach, Moshe Masir Yisrael, Omer Elham, Olakachta Mochem Bayom HaRishon. Make sure to walk out with your trophy to show the world that we always come out on top. In other words, what is the simcha on Sukkot? Not just that we made it throughout this agricultural cycle, but we also not just survived, but we won. We won on Yom Hadin. And the Medrash says something very similar. And Rabina Namri Hadoro Chehin, Shein Kmeitim B'Maseim Ba'an Ba'in Mitpalulim Lefanecha B'Rosh Hashanah V'Yom HaKippur B'Atah Borei Otan Bria Chadasha. Hashem recreates us on Yom Kippur, and then what does He allow us to do? Umalem Lasot, to take this opportunity of being forgiven for on Yom Kippur, Lika Chadas V'Lulav U'Lahalel Otcha. And then as an Am Nivra, as a nation that has been recreated, we use the Arba Minim basically to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And lastly, the last explanation here, the Midrashim Sikta de Rav Kahana does this as well, and that throughout this entire time, again from Samachta B'Chagecha, he says we really have a couple of smachot. Three times it said Simcha B'Chag. Samachta B'Chagecha, Vayitach Sameach, Usmachtam Lefnei Hashem Elokechem, Shevat Yamim. By Pesach it doesn't say any, even one time. It says, but why do we have by Sukkot 7 days of Simcha? Kol Shevat Yimei HaChag, Anu Kovim Bahem Et HaHalel. And he answers, my taima, 4 lines from the bottom. Shana fashon nidonot, o mevakish adam nafsho yoter mimamono. Because it's right after Yom Kippur. O b'chag lefishen et halo hanefashot, diyimus shalahem b'yom ha-kippurim, kamo shekatub ki b'yom hazeh yachapar alechem. We're finally relieved. We survived Yom Kippur. He says, we're ending one cycle. We're ending the cycle of Yemei Hadin. We came out okay. Va'od. And why is there another element of Simcha? Sha'atzvo peirot ha'ilan v'fnim. Lefichach k'tiv sham shalosh smachot. We have the Simcha of the Chag itself, but also the Simcha of all the other Chagim that have been building up. The Simcha of the cycle of Yamim Noraim, of these awesome days, and the Simcha of the cycle of the agricultural festivities. And therefore, take a look at the Karbanot and Sefer Bamidbar. And all the Shalosh Regalim, what's the standard? What type of Musafim do we offer? We offer Parim B'nei Bakar Shnayim V'Ayil Echad. On Yamim Noraim, what do we offer on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? That tells us that they are parallel. Par Ben Bakar Echad, Ayil Echad. One of each. What do we offer on Sukkot? We offer 70 altogether, right? Going up and down from the days, right? We have... We offer basically a mixed combination of these karbanot to show you that Sukkot is concluding both the cycle of Regalim and the cycle of Yemei Hadin. So in short, are you convinced? Should you be happy on Sukkot? Oh yes. Now we're going to take the Arba Minim, and the Arba Minim representing again, on one hand, the agriculture. On the other hand, as Chazal see it also, our trophies of Yom Hadin. This is what we use to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do we express this? We literally dance with the Arba Minim in front of Hashem when we say, Hodu la Hashem Kitov. We are dancing. That's how we're fulfilling the mitzvah of Usmachtem Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. Ideally, to channel our happiness towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, taking on one hand these agricultural species and saying, Hashem, thank you for the lulav and everything like the lulav. Thank you for the lulav that grows in the Midbar area. And thank you for the esrog that grows again on a, as we know, on a tree, right, in the mountain area. And thank you, Hashem, for everything by waters, the aravot. And thank you by the hadassim that are dependent on the rains. We basically use every mode of agriculture as we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly for our agricultural success. But at the same time, also as we saw in the Midrash, to finish off in a victorious manner, we are triumphant as we bring and as we dance with our Arba Minim after Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. But after all that simcha settles down, we find that as we go through Sukkot, and as we pour the last of the waters on top of the Mizbeach, thanking Hashem for a wonderful year, to a certain degree, simultaneously, what do we feel? These are the last of the waters of the Shiloach that would be poured on the Mizbeach. So what are we a little anxious with regard to? The rain. Now we're nervous. Hashem, thank you so much. Again, we've had such a great year. Look at all this produce. But now we're really nervous, especially a Shemitah year. Hashem, how's this year of planting going to go? Next year, are we going to receive such a bounty? So take a look. The Gemara says, indeed, we are a little nervous. Sukkot also has some aspects of din. There is judgment by Sukkot as well. The Mishnah tells us in the Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Ba'arba Prakim Ha'olam Nidon, we're judged four times a year. Pesach for the Tzvuah. Shavuos for the Perot, for the various fruits. Rosh Hashanah, all of us, for our existence. Kol Ba'ei Olam Ovrim Lefanav Kivnei Maron. Shene'emar Ha'yotzer Yachad Libam En Bechag Nidonim Alamayim. What are we judged for on Sukkot? The rain. Are we going to have enough rain? So the Gemara indeed elaborates, why is it that we're nervous on Pesach? The Pesach, we have barley, that's fodder, that's animal food. We need wheat. We don't know if the wheat's going to come. By Shavuos, we know the wheat's going to come, but we don't know. How about, that's why we're happy on Shavuos, we have our staple, but we don't know. Are we going to be able to have dessert? Are there going to be any fruits? By Chag, we know we have the fruits, but what are we still nervous about? The water. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says each time, okay, Pesach, you have your barley, you want to have your wheat, bring the Karban Omer. Shavuos, what do we bring? Minchat Shtei HaLechem. And this way you'll be assured that you'll also get your fruit. B'chag Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nischu Lefanai Mayim B'chag, Kedei Sheyitbarchu Lachem Gishmei Shana. Take the last of your waters that show that you understand that waters come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then you'll have blessings for Gishmei Shana. The Gemara says, that's why, when do we start to be maskir gevurot geshamim? Rabbi Eliezer says, when should we do this already? Miyom tov harishon shalchag. When should we already start asking, what does maskir gevurot mean? When do we start saying that Hashem has the power to bring mashiv haruach umorid hagashem? That's haskarat gevurot geshamim. When should we start to say that? Again, we see Rabbi Elazar says, Chag. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, 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 it's okay. You can wait till the last day, which is what we do. We start saying Mashiach HaRuach by the end. Where do we see this? That this is really, on one hand, the end of the season, but the beginning of a new season. This is how Sefer Shmuel describes the time period. Chag Hasid, Vitzei Tashana. Sukkot is the end, but as soon as it's the end. We're leaving the year. What does that mean? What are we going to do after our 1 week of full vacation? Go back to work. We're going to start sowing the land again, plowing the land, planting in the land, needing the rains from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why it's also called Kufat Hashanah. This whole season, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, is again wrapping up the entire year. And that's why Zechariah the Navi tells Am Yisrael and tells all the nations, you have to make sure that you recognize that God is not just the God of history for Am Yisrael. God is the God of nature for the entire world. And therefore, every nation has to go to Yerushalayim and ask Hashem for rain. Anyone know when we read this Haftorah? On Sukkot, right? Tzuah reminds us all that this is a time period wherein we're going to need the rain. So I don't know about you, but there is a little bit of anxiety then that I feel. Sukkot time. Okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you so much when I look at the past, but when I think about the future, I get butterflies in my stomach. I don't know, is this year really going to be an okay year? Is this year going to be a year wherein we have enough rainfall in Eretz Yisrael? And we're going to see that the same means, meaning the Arba Minim that are used to express Simcha, are also going to be used as our Tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'yom HaDin Al HaMayim. How do we see this? The Gemara tells us the Arba Minim are not just here for Simcha. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Hoil Varbat Minin Halalu Einan Ba'in, I would say Ela L'smoch Behem Lifnei Hashem. What does Rabbi Eliezer say? No, why do you need the Arba Minim? Ela L'Ratzot Al HaMayim, to appease HaKadosh Baruch Hu for water. K'shem She'Arba Minim Halalu Yafshar Behem B'lo Mayim, because each one of the Arba Minim need a different type of water. Kach Yafshar La'olam B'lo Mayim. So too, you can't have the world perpetuated without water. Or the Gemara also says, so what do we do with our Arba Minim? I thought that we do a dance, right, that expresses our simcha. Now we hear, no, what do? We're actually waving it, north, south, east, west. Why? To show that Hashem rules over all the corners of the world, and Hashem is in control of the waters up above and the waters down below. We also use it as an expression almost of appeasing Hashem, to stir up the waters. And this is what we say as part of our introduction to picking up the lulav. Hashem uvina'ani otam. So I'm thinking now with the Baalei HaTosfot. When I shake them, I want to express my happiness to Hashem. Now I hear, wait, I'm also shaking them. Tashbi Hashem ha'brachot midat al yom and ve'a per yom l'mechot b'it alokeinu. Hashem, I hope this also stirs and shakes up the clouds up above so that you can also give us rain for the year. And the Ritva says, Ki v'davar haba l'ratzot ki korban v'lulav ava lo b'shar mitzvot. What do you know? We even bring the Arba Minim as a type of korban in front of Hashem. This is our way of asking Hashem, please, please, give us water for the year. And the Ramban also says, Ela b'karban uv'lulav shemahalulim b'hen. The same means that I use as simcha, I'm using also for din. So now again, what are you going to feel on Sukkot?
Happiness.
And at the same time, we're going to see right now that there is room to express a little bit of that anxiety. Particularly when I pick up the Arba Minim, I'm going to shake the Arba Minim out of happiness, dancing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but simultaneously worrying about the year. At the same time that I look back, and I say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for an amazing Zman Elul in MMY. What do I also have to be a little nervous about? How's Chorev Zman going to go? Right, Hashem, can you make sure to provide me the stamina, right, for the future? And for the literal waters and rain that we need, but also for all that energy that we need throughout the year. Right, Sukkot is that transition season. And as you can imagine, as we get closer and closer to Hoshana Rabbah, what did we used to do on Hoshana Rabbah? We used to take just the aravot, which represent the rainwater, right? The aravot are by the water. We take the aravot and we circle the mizbeach on Yom HaRava. That's Hoshana Rabba. And we say, Hoshana! That's when we go around seven times and not just once. And we say, Hashem, we need your salvation. We need your salvation. And today, because we can't take our arava and we can't go around the mizbeach hanachoshet in the Beis Hamikdash, so what do we do instead to appeal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Save us with what's chut? What's the minhag? What do we do? Le Hoshana Rabbah? I just heard you're all going to stay up all night, right? And then daven vasikin. No, you're not staying up all night. Yeah, we are. You're staying up all night. We learn Torah and we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu we're doing this because we're a little nervous. Hashem, we need the schuyot for the next year as well. That's why even though technically, I'll tell you something, we just had Yom HaDin on Rosh Hashanah, and then we asked Hashem in the Ilo last night, Chatzmenu v'chayim tovim, to seal us. So what do we see though? To a certain degree, we get a little bit of an extension. Right? What do we get extended for? Well, if we're still being judged for water, then maybe Hashem will extend our din for everything else as well. So if you didn't get to ask all of your friends for Mechila, it's okay. When do you have until? Shana Rabban, Hasidim say even till Chanukah. But again, back to this. So basically, again, now this is going to be a time, especially as you get closer to Shana Rabban. Shemini Atzeret is a very din holiday, right? No longer do we have the Arba Minim even. We just daven for Geshem. And now we leave the Sukkot behind and we tell Hashem, it's just you and us. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we hope that our relationship is enough. And now we now incorporate it also with Simchas Torah, with the happiness of Torah to take us throughout the year. So this is what, just to remind you, when we stood with our lulav and etrog, what do we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the last page? Hashlamat ma'arechet yemei hadin. Just like on Yom Tov HaRishon Shalcha, Kol Yisrael Lomdim Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have our trophies in hand, right? Our lulav and etrog l'shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'omer lehem mada azal azal, min hacha nachil chushpana. This is when a new chashbon HaRaveiro begins. So we see that we have an opportunity on Sukkot. We have an opportunity to fill the simcha, but at the same time recognize that a new chashbon, a new calculation is starting. That's why, by the way, these special days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, we're already feeling the simcha. Why? Because we have days where we started with a clean slate before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Tchilata na'ava chashbon avonot. But really, according to this, when does the calculation of sins begin? Not till Sukkot. Not till we're holding the Arba Minim in our hands. But I thought we're forgiven for everything by Yom Kippur. So we have these 4 days in between where, guess what? Like, nothing counts. Isn't that great? That's like a reason to be happy now. So I'm like only half joking. That, now obviously you cannot take advantage and go ahead and sin. But the real Cheshbon Avonot is going to begin again with Sukkot. As the Rambam says as well, and with this will conclude, Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim, as we said, have some simcha, not hallel, but their simcha. But why don't they have hallel? Because even though they have a little bit of simcha, they have tshuva, anira, and fachad. Lo yamei simcha yitzeira. Notice he says they're not days of simcha, they're just not days of simcha yitzeira. When is there simcha yitzeira? That's Sukkot. Sukkot again is the time not just of simcha, but super duper simcha. Simcha for finishing off the agricultural cycle, simcha for finishing off the cycle of Yom HaDin, simcha for knowing that we came out of these days okay, simcha for knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us not just our homes, but Eretz Yisrael, simcha for the relief that we're supposed to feel at this time, simcha also looking back and recognizing and thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a wonderful year, and to a certain degree that simcha should last throughout not just the days of Sukkot, but beyond. That's why we end Sukkot with Simchas HaTorah, where we tell Hashem, we want to be happy with you, but we just put down our Arba Minim, and that was the tool for happiness. And we say, no, we have another tool that can make us happy throughout the entire year. And what is that? That's the Torah. But as we're just about ready to put down our Arba Minim that express Simcha, we remember that we also yell out, Anna Hashem Hoshiyana, with the same Arba Minim, that we also have to use them to express a little bit of Din, as we look forward, Be'ezrat Hashem, to a wonderful year, a year that, on one hand, may begin with a little anxiety, but if we take the simcha of Chag HaSukkot with us, if we take the simcha of the tremendous Hakarat HaTov that we should be feeling, if we take the simcha, knowing that we had such wonderful Yomim Noraim, if we take the simcha that ends with Simchat HaTorah, then Be'ezrat Hashem, we can be happy the whole year through. So have a, not just a wonderful Chag, but a wonderful year full of Simchat HaTorah.
Hold it, everyone clean your stuff. I'm not having my head chopped off.